You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Actually, Maggie's not here. Maggie's up camping up north. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm co-hosting today with my favorite co-host, Angela Lang. Angela, why don't you take it from here?
Yeah, so very excited about this next guest, Representative Jenna Jacobson, who has just had some exciting news. I don't want to spoil it. If you want to let our listeners know what's so exciting in the last couple days.
Yes, yeah, so on July 7th, I announced that I am running for state senate in the 17th Senate District, which is currently held by Howard Markline, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. So I'm very excited for the opportunity to run this race and represent the people of the 17th.
So what made you take this leap, right, from assembly to Senate, especially now in this political landscape? We also know that, you know, maps might be a little bit different and fairer, and there's a lot of Dems that see a different path. So what made this feel a little bit different, and what made you jump into this race?
So for me, it started back when I was on the village board in Oregon, where I live, and I kept learning about all the ways that we were trying to help our community, trying to do the things that the community was asking for, and we would either run into issues with the state removing local control away from us, or we'd have unfunded mandates. So our budget was more about accommodating these demands from the state without any additional funding versus doing some of these other things that the village wanted us to do. Couple that with the fact that I have three kiddos in the school system in Oregon, and how much I value public education, how much Wisconsin is known for having quality public education for all of our kiddos, and how we hadn't been supporting our schools for many years. So I ran for state assembly when the maps changed in 2022, and we had the opportunity to run in a new district. I didn't have an incumbent in that area, and really at the state level, again, working on protecting local control, supporting our school districts, and also housing affordability is something I worked on a lot in the Village of Oregon. But under these new maps, I was really hoping to see more responsiveness from Howard Markline as far as what the community has been asking for. So education funding has been a huge topic of conversation, not just in my assembly district, but throughout the Senate district, because it's one of the Senate districts that has some of the most school referendums of any other Senate district, right? And property taxpayers are tired, frankly. They're wanting good public schools, but they're paying for groceries, they're, you know, paying for childcare, all of these demands on their finances. And the state had a real opportunity in this last budget to step forward and provide some real relief. And unfortunately, that didn't happen under the budget that Howard Markline wrote. And so I thought it was time to give the voters a different voice, a voice that was more reflective of what they wanted to see in government.
Yeah, I want to stick with the budget a little bit because you mentioned education. It's a big thing that a lot of folks are talking about. There's mixed, you know, feelings and some criticism over the budget in terms of education specifically. What are you hearing, or, you know, what's your assessment of how the budget played out specifically in terms of education funding?
You know, I think it was good to see additional special education funding going into the budget. You know, I have a special education child myself. That was something I have been advocating for. I was glad to see that there was a step in the right direction. But one of the things I keep going back to is in all the conversations that I had, both around my assembly district and around the Senate district, was people were not expecting to get additional special education funding at the expense of any per student general education funding. We need both, right? We needed at least a basic cost of living kind of inflationary increase, and that didn't happen. And so when you looked at the numbers that the Department of Public Instruction put out on July 1st, just before the budget was passed, a lot of the schools in my district are losing money. And a lot of the schools around the Senate district are negatively impacted as well, because this budget didn't have that additional funding in there. And so, you know, every budget is complicated, right? There's a lot of good things in this budget. There's a lot of good things in these massive policy documents that we're putting forward. But just hearing about what was important to my district and what they were asking for, school funding was top of the list. And in this budget just didn't meet that moment.
I just wanted to jump in. Rep. Jenna Jacobson running for Howard Markline's seat. Howard Markline does not seem to be that responsive to the people of his district. I know Todd Albaugh on his Todd Albaugh show here on Civic Media raised a stink, and more much credit to him for doing so, about the closing of UW-Richland Center. And I know people in your district, in Markline's district, were furious about that, and he was totally apparently deaf to that. I mean, how do you explain that?
I don't know. I honestly can't tell you what was going through his mind, but I think of what, you know, what I envision for a representative is somebody who's hearing the needs of the district. And we can't, you know, I think everybody in Wisconsin recognizes that we can't always get everything that we want, right? But if we can at least understand the process, if we can understand the whys behind it and have a real conversation about what led us to that point, for whatever decision is, I think people appreciate that. And I feel like specifically with UW-Richland Center, but also, I mean, education and funding in general, this budget, there was talk about cutting for the entire UW system at one point. That is not what people have been asking for, right? You know, we have UW-Platteville in this district. We have a lot of folks that live and work at UW-Madison and UW-Lacrosse and commute to those other districts to support those institutions. And if we're not supporting some of these flagship institutions in our state, are we listening to our constituents? Are we being responsive to their needs? So I think it's just a piece of that larger puzzle of not reflecting what the folks of the 17th have been asking for repeatedly for years.
One of those things, again, was more spending on K-12. You announced your candidacy in Ridgeway outside a closed elementary school. And you said there was a closed elementary school in Arena, too, another small town in your district. You know, the idea that this budget passed without any increase except for special ed, K-12, seems like just such a sin. And Markline was head of joint finance, so he had the power. Really, to insist. And of course, Robin Voss, you know, could have instructed people on the assembly side too, Bourne's and those other folks, to come along with more spending on public education. But what is the message that they are sending, Howard Markline, Robin Voss, the other leaders of the Republican Party, about those of us who value our public schools, people listening right now who have kids in public schools? Mm-hmm. What's the message they're sending?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the question. And I used to live in the town of Arena. It's where I brought my first two kiddos home from the hospital to. They were originally scheduled to go to Arena Elementary School. And I think about how many communities around our state, how many of our rural communities who gather around at those rural schools, whether elementary, middle school, whatever it is, where that school is the center of so many things in our rural communities. And then when it closes, what happens? How are we supporting those rural communities when we are allowing for these community centers essentially to go away? And those closures were not the result of one budget. It was the result of multiple budgets, multiple choices over his entire 15-year tenure. That have led to those decisions, those closures. And, you know, I just keep going back to, what is the overall impact to the kids? What's the overall impact to those rural communities? Is that really what people were asking for when they were asking, you know, for his leadership?
Speaking with Representative Jenna Jacobson, I'm Matt Rothschild, joined by Angela Lang. We're co-hosting today. Angela had mentioned fairer maps. What role are fairer maps playing in your decision here?
I think they're a huge part of the decision, mainly because the main point of fairer maps, or one of the main points, was to make sure that representatives were being chosen by their voters and that representatives were reflecting the voices of their voters, right? And instead of the other way around, we've we've lived under those gerrymandered maps. We've lived under representatives choosing their voters, and the people of Wisconsin rose up and said, this is not what we want. They fought and got those fairer maps. And I was hoping to see with those fairer maps, a more responsive state senator in Howard Markline. And as I mentioned, that just didn't transpire. The opportunity was there and it didn't happen.
What about on the state assembly side? I know when I was at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and I'd go testify, the toxicity level among the Republicans with their huge majority, it was really high. Has that gone down a little? Is it a little more civil over there? Or is it still, we've got the majority, we got the power, go away?
Well, you know, assembly, we gained 10 seats, which was phenomenal. But one of the things that I don't think is talked about nearly as much as it should be is the fact that the speaker has the power to change the makeup of the committees that he creates and assigns. And so a lot of the committees actually lost seats, specifically legislative Democrats lost seats. So still trying to grasp onto power in a way that Wisconsinites have already said they don't want to see. They want to see people working together. They want to see, you know, people who are putting the best interests of all of Wisconsinites forward rather than just a few. And we're still seeing, you know, gerrymandered committees, if you will, for lack of a better term, right? And I think that that's one of the things that I'm hopeful with this coming legislative session. We have the opportunity to flip the state Senate, and we have the opportunity to flip the assembly and really change the narrative in the building to be reflective of what the state wants to see.
There's a rumor going around that Boss Voss is going to retire soon. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I'm not on his Christmas card, so listen, I don't. But, you know, I mean, I think everybody gets to make the choice whether to run again or not. You know, that's a complicated decision. I always leave to each individual person to make on their own. But I think it also is, it kind of says a lot when you've kind of lost the fight on gerrymandered maps, and the people of Wisconsin have won on that front. And now you're really facing a tough challenge to maintain the iron fist control that you've had for so long that you're thinking about retiring instead. So we'll see what happens.
Well, time will tell.
I hope you can stay for another segment after this brief intermission. We're speaking with Representative Jenna Jacobson, who's running against Howard Markline. I'm Matt Rothschild. Angela Lang is my co-host. We're sitting in for Maggie. You can join the conversation, 855-752-4842, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's up north camping. I'm Matt Rothschild, guest hosting along with Angela Lang. And we have a great guest right now, Representative Jenna Jacobson, who's running against Howard Markline in an attempt to flip the state Senate and make it more responsive. Angela, you've got a question for the representative.
Yeah, we've been talking about, you know, I think in this political landscape, it says a lot who's a D and who's an R, right? But I want to kind of dig a little bit more into like specific issues that like Wisconsinites care about. So if you could talk to us, you know, say you're successful, you're already in the assembly, right? But you kind of make the switch to Senate, you know, a little bit of a different landscape. What are some of the main priorities you have and some of the things you want to get started to work on in day one in the Senate?
Well, we've been talking a lot about education funding, and how we can support our rural schools. And that obviously is a huge issue across the district. But I'd expand that to how we're supporting our rural communities in general. So the schools that are in those rural communities, what the state is investing as far as broadband is concerned. I know we're slated to get all this money from the federal government, but the state really hasn't put in a lot of money of our own to make sure that we can really reach that last mile on broadband across the state. So I'd like to see us doing more on that front and just thinking really about, you know, what are our rural communities needing in order to thrive? Because I think that is a huge piece of the conversation that we haven't been talking about. So that's schools, that's broadband, that's we talked about local control a little bit more, making sure that they can be responsive to their constituents. And so kicking off those initiatives right away, more than what we've been talking about in the assembly, I think is going to be an exciting piece of that. I also worked quite a bit on housing affordability in Oregon, where I live, when I was on the village board. So talking about, you know, what does housing affordability look like? Every community is different. Their needs are different. Housing isn't just tax credit housing, but or just apartment, you know, multifamily housing, but you need different styles of single family housing. You need owner and renter occupied. You need so many different types of housing, and we need housing all over the state. So really having that open conversation about what are the policies that are inhibiting that housing growth, and then what we can be doing in our rural, urban, and suburban settings to make sure that communities can build the housing that their particular community needs, and not trying to look at this one size fits all type of perspective when it comes to housing. So that's another huge issue. And we did talk about local control more in our rural communities. So I don't want to belabor that point, but I really think when you look at the landscape of this district, you know, you have larger communities like Platteville, you have smaller communities like Barneveld, where I used to live, and each one of those communities has a different need. I think water quality and environment is a huge part of this area. Agriculture is a huge issue in this district. Obviously, it's a main economic driver of our state and our rural heritage, America's Dairyland, right? But that intersection of agriculture and our environment and how they work together to not only continue to feed Wisconsinites and folks around our country, but also preserve and protect our natural resources, because there's a lot of things that we've been doing at the state level to have those two areas kind of converge in some really positive ways. The thinking of the farmer-led watershed protection program, for example. And so what can we do to enhance those programs, expand those programs, make sure that everybody has access to clean, safe drinking water, make sure that this area also has a large number of state natural parks. And so something like the Knowles Nelson, making sure that we're reinvigorating that program, giving it the attention it deserves so it can continue to protect our natural resources. Yeah, that's a longer list probably than you asked, but there's so much to do.
No, that's helpful. I think it does really just underscore a lot of what you want to get busy to do on day one. But also what's interesting is that I've heard a lot of things. You know, you really mentioned rural communities, which is great. But I also hear a lot of the same things that impact, you know, places in Milwaukee where I'm from. And I think there's, for anyone listening, I just kind of want to underscore that point that, like, no matter where you are, if you live in Wisconsin, there are some similarities. And I think oftentimes we're often left with this urban and rural divide, but we also have challenges with housing and healthcare and all of these things too. So I just wanted to highlight that a little bit more too.
And I'm so glad you did, because that is when I'm talking, you know, my district doesn't necessarily have a lot of urban areas, but when I'm talking with my counterparts in the assembly and the Senate, that is part of our conversation is we all need access to broadband. We all need access to quality, affordable housing and healthcare and good public schools. And maybe how we solve the issues as far as access to those things might be a little bit different. The end result is the same, is that every Wisconsinite wants access to those things.
Yeah, I mean, we all need a place to live. We all need rent that's affordable or a mortgage that's affordable. And there's almost nowhere in Wisconsin where it is. Right. And it's time we solve this at the policy level. And so I'm glad you're paying attention to that. Our guest has been Representative Jenna Jacobson, who announced just in the last 10 days or so that she's running against Howard Markline in southwestern Wisconsin in a flippable district now that there are fair maps. So I wish you all the best. How can people contact you or support you if they have an inkling to do so?
Yeah, so jennaforwisconsin.com is my web address. My email is there if you want to contact me with follow-up questions. Information about myself is on there, and I encourage you all to visit it and let me know if you have further questions.
That's Jennifer Wisconsin. That's J-E-N-N-A. Good luck on the campaign trail, and thanks so much for being our guest.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
We'll be right back in the Maggie Dawn Show, welcoming your calls at 855-752-4842. Please stay tuned. We got a poem and some bird song coming up. Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for Maggie, who's camping up north, extending her long weekend, and I hope she's having fun up there. It's a beautiful day to be up north. Mm-hmm. I'm joined by my usual co-host, Angela Lang. You can join the conversation at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC if you want to talk about Jenna Jacobson's race against Howard Markline, or pick up even the conversation we had with Reverend Cooper, Chief David Cooper, who's having that big protest in Madison, faith-based protest against Trump's policies on August 2nd at 11 o'clock at Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol. But right now, as Maggie likes to say, there's been some breaking news. So here is the breaking news. A former Louisville police officer, Brett Hankinson, was sentenced this afternoon to 33 months in prison for violating Breonna Taylor's rights when he shot 20 times blindly through her door there, or blindly fired 10 bullets into her daughter's room and killed Breonna Taylor. So he violated her rights, and the shocking thing, this whole thing is shocking, actually, but the latest shocking thing was that the Trump Justice Department said he should only serve one day in jail. I mean, that is a huge slap in the face to everyone who was protesting what happened to Breonna Taylor. The Louisville Urban League president, Lyndon Pryor, had said, "We're really talking about the undermining of the entire system, which is already on thin ice." And he said that would have been a setback in criminal justice and judicial reform and in the entire American government. He said if he was going to get off scot-free, didn't get off scot-free, didn't get a huge penalty here. Angela Lang, what's your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I have mixed feelings, because on one hand, it was recommended, you know, a single day, right? Which I do think would have been a huge slap in the face. But quite frankly, I expected that. We've seen time and time again where police escape accountability for violating people's basic rights, for murdering unarmed folks, traffic stops. I was just in Racine this weekend, facilitating a conversation with the film directors from the movie Cycle. And we see this time and time again of law enforcement violating rights, to say the least, if not worse. And so I was actually kind of surprised to see that it was more than just a day. But at the same time, it's hard to think that any amount of time could ever do justice for someone that should still be here.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about that film Cycle that you mentioned.
Yeah, so Cycle, a while back in, I think, June or so, Dan Schaefer and I actually interviewed the directors because they were making their debut at the Milwaukee Film Festival. And Cycle tells the story of 18-year-old Tyrese West, who was murdered by the police, by Mount Pleasant police, in 2019, right on the heels of the Juneteenth celebration in Racine. And it's a tragic, heartbreaking story, plot twist, you know, I guess, spoiler alert, the cop has had multiple investigations for abuse of conduct and all sorts of things, and he is still on the force and has had not 1 ounce of accountability. And, you know, this was the first time that this film was actually being shown in Racine, in the community where it actually happened. And I was lucky enough to be able to facilitate a conversation afterwards with the directors. And it was cool because, like, the first interview that they've done around the film was with me and Dan Schaefer. And then now to be asked to do it in this way during kind of their homecoming was great. But it was heavy, you know, the folks that there was 250 folks that filmed that theater that you can tell were tired of seeing these types of issues continue. And I think, you know, whether it's Tyrese West or Mike Brown or Sandra Bland, Dontre Hamilton in Milwaukee, I think folks are really exhausted. But I think there's something to be said about continuing to tell the stories in real time, whether it's Breonna Taylor and, you know, the sentencing today, or even Tyrese West. So people aren't forgetting these stories, but also see the cruelty, and a reminder to not look away from the cruelty, to make sure that we make sure it doesn't happen again too.
Yeah, it's really important. The film again is Cycle. In the Breonna Taylor story, the officer just sentenced to 33 months, not one day, as the racist Trump Justice Department wanted it to be. There seems to be no limit in the blatant racism that they're engaging in now. Mm-hmm. I mean, Trump wants to, you know, change the names back on the football teams that had NFL football teams. I mean, there's nothing. He wants to be NFL commissioner too. It's not enough that he's just president of the United States.
He wants to be Pope. He wants to be king, NFL commissioner, maybe an astronaut. We can send him to space. I don't know.
Head of the Kennedy Center.
You know,
he wants it all. Won't be satisfied. I'm struck on our conversation we've had today, especially with Chief Cooper. I'm struck by the increasing sadism that we're seeing in this country, the increasing callousness, and that's part of the reason he's having this march to protest against all that. I mean, there was this story today in The Guardian about people who are being detained and just packed in and in disgusting conditions. I know Tom Hartman mentioned it on the show that airs here on Civic Media earlier today, but it is just amazing. The details, they had men shackled with their hands behind their backs. Here, I'll just read a paragraph. Migrants at a Miami immigration jail were shackled with their hands tied behind their backs and made to kneel to eat food Monday from styrofoam plates like dogs at three overcrowded South Florida facilities. It's just amazing. It's disgusting. It's appalling. It's an affront, but it's part of this movement you and I have been talking about every time we get on the show, or any show on Civic Media, about the, I call it what it is, about a fascist form of government that is authoritarian at the top, that engages in scapegoating and blatant cruelty to dull people to the sensations that they're seeing, which would allow them to go even further and further. And that's what I think the Trump administration is doing. And that's why we had, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem at that El Salvador prison in front of those people who were half naked and jammed in like sardines. Mm-hmm. That's why we're seeing the thing down in the Everglades. It's just there's no limit really to how dehumanizing the Trump administration is being toward immigrants in this country.
I mean, when you're saying that the alligators are going to have a lot to eat, right? And alligator Alcatraz, or whatever they're calling it, like it is that dehumanizing. And I feel like every single time we jump on air, we talk about how it's dehumanizing and it's cruel. And that's one of the ways that people are able to get away with things, with how they treat whole populations and whole communities of folks. Is the first thing you have to do is try to get the public opinion to not see that group of people as human. We've seen that with trans folks, and we're seeing it with immigrants. We've definitely seen it with Black folks. And it kind of just bounces around from time to time of what group of folks is the target that we're going to dehumanize, because the more we can persuade the public to not even see them as human beings, the more we can get away with treating them cruelly.
Angela Lang just mentioned, or was referring to a quote that Laura Loomer, who is kind of Trump's whisperer, she wrote on social media, "Alligator lives matter." That's a really nice sentence too, right there. And she went on, "The good news is alligators are guaranteed at least 65 million meals if we get started now." And so she's going after not just the so-called 12 or 13 million undocumented immigrants in this country, but every single Latino, because she added there are 65 million illegal aliens in the United States. Just happen to be 65 million Latinos in the United States. So she is saying that everybody who's Latino should be put in that alligator Auschwitz down in Florida and be eaten by an alligator. I mean,
these are no longer dog whistles. Like, no. These are straight bullhorns at this point.
I mean, it was like, or the other comment was, you know, Ann Coulter saying, we didn't kill enough Indians.
Ooh, yeah, I saw that.
You know, this is about a Native American professor, Melanie Yazzie, a history professor at the University of Minnesota, who was speaking at a conference on socialism. And Ann Coulter didn't like something she said, so she posted, we didn't kill enough Indians. If that doesn't take your breath away, if you're listening right now in your car or in your home and that didn't make you gasp, I think you better take a look, because this is bragging about genocide. Both it of is. Them bragging about genocide.
Very much so. It is cruel. It is disgusting. It's, you know, I think about how at some point, like, I shouldn't be surprised at some of these comments anymore. But, you know, when you live under this basic social contract that, you know, war is bad, killing people and genocide is bad, right? And suddenly all of those things, those basic assumptions that we agreed to as a country and as a society are out of the window, it is ridiculous to look around or to log on Twitter and to see these quotes and these comments. And it's like, where did the basic decency go? Not even necessarily partisanship, you know, politics are going to be what they are. But things like racism were not political at one point. Yes, there may have been a party that's a little bit more racist than the other. But, you know, it was one of those things you were taught in elementary school. Racism is bad. And it wasn't seen as controversial. You know, let's increase voter turnout with everyone. That is a good thing. And these things have become partisan issues to the point where people are bragging about genocide, whether it's with indigenous folks and Native Americans or immigrants. And we can also talk about borders and colonization and all of that if we really want to get into who people are being treated as immigrants when there was a whole indigenous community here before we were.
Yeah. And, you know, it reminds me of what Chief David Cooper was talking about an hour ago here with us, the Reverend Cooper saying, you know, the golden rule is part of every faith in the world. And we see an administration right now that is flagrantly and blatantly violating the golden rule, violating the basic moral precepts of every religion that there is. And people are letting it happen. People, you know, his support doesn't seem to budge. I mean, when he was sitting next to me, David Cooper, he was at break time, he was wagging his finger saying, you know, people aren't able to, we're not able to move the dial on these folks. The only thing that's moving the dial is the crazy Epstein thing. Yeah, and they knew this guy was a sexual predator the first time he ran. He admitted it in public. On tape, he admitted it. And now he's a convicted sexual abuser. And this is what's getting people up in arms. I mean, it's kind of, you know, crazy what grabs people and what doesn't grab people morally, which is a problem we're facing in this country. We're going to lighten it up a little bit when we're back. I'm Matt Rothschild. Angela Lang is my co-host. I am going to give you a poem on immigrant rights and then a bird song I heard just yesterday. We'll be right back on the Maggie Dawn Show, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's going to be back tomorrow. She's still camping up north. Who wouldn't be on such a beautiful day here in Wisconsin? I'm Matt Rothschild. Been co-hosting with Angela Lang again today. So much fun, Angela.
Always, always. Thanks for having me. It's always such a good conversation, and I feel like every single time we're always building off of what we said before. So, yes.
It's one long conversation.
One long conversation.
And I appreciate the callers and texters that join. I also want to thank David Cooper for being our guest and Jenna Jacobson, representative, who is now running against Howard Markline. As promised, I am going to read a poem. I believe in poetry and art and music to move us in ways that everyday language can't, including writing op-eds, and I've written hundreds of them. This one is called Imagine the Angels of Bread. It's by one of my favorite poets, Martina Spada, who used to be in Madison a long time ago. He's now gone on to win all sorts of prizes. He teaches poetry at University of Massachusetts Amherst. This isn't the entire poem because it's too long, but I'm reading bits and pieces of it. It's It's called Imagine the Angels of Bread. This is the year that those who swim the border's undertow and shiver in boxcars are greeted with trumpets and drums at the first railroad crossing on the other side. This is the year that the hands pulling tomatoes from the vine uproot the deed to the earth that sprouts the vine. This is the year that the hands canning tomatoes are named in the will that owns the bedlam of the cannery. This is the year that the eyes stinging from the poison that purifies toilets awaken at last to the sight of a rooster-loud hillside, pilgrimage of immigrant birth. This is the year that cockroaches become extinct, that no doctor finds a roach embedded in the ear of an infant. This is the year that the food stamps of adolescent mothers are auctioned like gold coins. If every rebellion begins with the idea that conquerors on horseback are not many-legged gods, that they too drown if plunged in the river, then this is the year. So may every humiliated mouth fill with the angels of bread. Incredible poem from Martina Spada, who is an old friend and great poet. So there you have it. Yeah,
didn't know the Wisconsin connection.
Yeah, he did a little work at WORT, the community radio station in Madison. And he's actually inspired a couple generations now of political poets. I mean, he's right in line with other great political poets like June Jordan and Adrian Rich. So terrific poet. He's got a great baritone voice, too. So if you ever get the chance to look him up or see him in person, Espada, E-S-P-A-D-A. I now want to turn, as I often do, to birdsong, which sustains me. I was out walking in the Wabisa wetlands yesterday, and I heard a common yellowthroat. So we're going to play the common yellowthroat for me, Jacob, if you would. It's cute, isn't it?
It is cute. I like it.
Yeah. And it's a neat bird. It's got yellow in the throat and brown in the back and then a black mask. It's kind of a bandit. Oh. It's just the size of a sparrow, but it's got a pretty voice. But if you approach its nest, it won't be singing that pretty song. Going like this. Yeah, it's his way of telling you to get away.
Yeah,
They sing all summer long, and it's a beautiful bird of swamps and marshes and lowlands. The common yellowthroat. So there you have it. That's my bird of the day. Angela and I are going to be back on Wednesday, actually. We're going to be doing Matinee on Air from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on many of these stations on Civic Media. And I'm going to be bringing some owl sounds that day. So that's kind of fun because I've been hearing owls outside at nighttime in our place just south of Madison. And people love owls. Everyone loves owls. And I want people to call in with their owl stories when we're on next. Angela, are you doing anything fun in the next couple of days? Going to see the Brewers, for instance, 10 games in a row?
I did see that. Some friends of mine were like, maybe let's like link up and go watch the game somewhere. So we'll see. I'm just trying to enjoy the weather. It's nice out. Who knows? We've had some weird weather. Sometimes it's cloudy and rainy. Other times it's like cold. It's 60 something. So I'm just trying to make sure I take advantage. And I am dramatic. And I'm a Leo, so my birthday is coming up at the 1st. So I'm trying to make some plans, figure out what to do, probably celebrate early and all month because, again, I'm dramatic and that's what I do. So we'll see.
You've got one of those month-long birthdays.
Yeah, especially when your birthday is on the 1st. That means you have to celebrate all month. And then anyone that's familiar, even just a little bit with astrology, I'm a Leo. Leos like attention and we can be very dramatic. So that kind of adds to the whole birthday thing. So I'm just trying to, you know, take some rest where I can. Like yesterday, I didn't do a whole ton of stuff, but then also take advantage of like the good weather and going out for walks in between calls like I did today.
That makes a lot of sense. Thanks for joining me again. It's always a pleasure doing this radio show with you. I want to thank Jacob also for handling the engineering and the producing and the callers and the texters and making sure I'm awake when I got to come back on the air. because sometimes I'm in a different space. So I also want to thank Maggie Dawn herself for letting me, Matt Rothschild, and Angela Lang take the wheel here when she's away. It's always a pleasure to be on her great show, prize-winning show. I always listen to it when I'm not on, and she'll be back tomorrow. Stay tuned for Pete Schwabe. The handsome Pete Schwabe is going to be on the air. Always a fun show to listen to. Take care, everybody.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.